Hello and welcome to the Vermilion Sports Show on KRVS 88.7 FM. I am your host, Louis Prejean, sports editor for the Vermilion, the student newspaper of the University of Louisiana. I am joined, as always, by sports writer Charles Long.
We got a lot going on this week.
There's a lot going on. there is a lot going on. It's finals week here at the university. There's Drew Brees overrated conversations going on Instagram.
Yeah.
There's the Pelicans being uninteresting, which we'll get into. And then, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot that's happening.
Trade AD.
No.
Wow. Okay, we're starting off the show with some intense takes. I'm also here with Justin Vosage.
Present.
He found the Drew Brees overrated post, which he totally agrees on.
And I do not.
We're actually about to kick him out the
do
studio.
Do not agree with that, actually. Let's set that record straight.
Yeah, no. He does not think Drew Brees is overrated, but Charlie has an interesting take about Drew Brees.
I love Drew Brees.
I was just testing. I didn't know if you had a sneaky take.
He played his worst game of his career on Thursday night.
Which
that's not really a take. There's almost a fact.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later. A game that scared, I think, all of us, and it ended up being our worst nightmare. All right, in this week's show, we will talk about Raging Cajuns football and their performance in the Sun Belt Conference Championship, as well as the New Orleans Pelicans and the New Orleans Saints. We have more college football as the playoff teams were announced, and we will hand that off to Charlie for his thoughts later on the show. Justin has his own little segment coming up later to talk about the Pelicans. A lot of alliteration in the show. Two examples of alliteration in the show, which we will get into. But right now, let's get into Raging Cajuns football. The Raging Cajuns football team is now 7-6 after the 30-19 loss to App State in the first ever, the inaugural Sun Belt Conference championship game. Initial reactions to this game, Charlie.
We try to manhandle the Mountaineers.
No. Nice. Alliteration.
You just said no.
Well, we didn't, actually. We tried to.
No. I was just like, no, it failed.
Yeah. I just tried to go with it.
I like it.
Yeah, it did fail. You know, that's what it comes down to. Overall, good performance by the Cajuns, even though they lost by 11 points. That's kind of what I'm coming away with. It was a really good performance by them. Three or four plays, I would have to say, really decided this game, which is pretty crazy. And it's kind of like what you want to see in a conference championship game. But all four of them went to App State. So as a Cajuns fan, you don't like to see that.
Yeah, I think this game was defined by big plays versus Raging Cajuns kicking field goals.
Yeah.
I think App State was able to make big plays while Louisiana was subdued. I mean, due to App State's great defense, more than Louisiana's effectiveness on offense.
App State had like three or four explosive plays. But outside of that, the defense was super tight. They were struggling to move the ball. But, you know, as you said, they made the plays that the Cajuns weren't able to. Those big plays that they were able to come through with throughout the game really was the difference on the scoreboard.
Yeah, let's look at their offense. Andre Nunez threw for 10 of 21, 85 yards, and two interceptions. He did have a rushing touchdown, which ended up being the only touchdown the Raging Cajuns scored in this game. Levi Lewis, only one pass attempt, didn't complete it. He had 15 rushing yards. The team had 216 total rushing yards. Regus led the way with 101 yards. Elijah Mitchell with 85 yards. Jamarcus Bradley had four catches to lead the team, 41 yards. No Elijah Mitchell catches. And Kyle Fowle, 4-4 from field goals and was the offensive MVP for Louisiana. Two of them were inside App State's 10-yard line, three from inside the red zone. Justin, I mean, Louisiana not able to convert these red zone trips into touchdowns. I mean, why do you think the offense struggled, or what are your thoughts on this offensive performance from the Raging Cajuns?
I mean, it all boils down to Andre Nunez continuing to struggle on the road. I think, Levi Lewis had his drive with where he went 0-for-1, but two interceptions, it's hard to win when you do that. And no passing touchdowns is another big stat that I think jumps out to me from Nunez. It's like Charlie was saying, it wasn't a terrible performance, really. They did play pretty well. It was just, like he was saying, a couple of key things that happened that really ended up swinging the game in the favor of App State.
Yeah, and then you looked at the first drive of the game, the opening drive, which led to a field goal. It was a 4th-and-2. Napier decided not to go for it, decided to take the 3 points. And that kind of, like, set the tone for how Napier was going to call the game. He was going to just put points on the board, stay in the game throughout the game, not necessarily take a lot of risk. But, Charlie, would you have liked to see a bit more aggressive approach?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, Napier had his flaws in this game. There were a couple play calls that I would have liked to see go a little differently. For instance, you know, there was one point in the game where we were down 13-17, and we were faced with a third and goal at the three. Running it up the middle had been working the whole drive. Napier tries to run it on the outside. We lose 4 yards, and all of a sudden it becomes a 4th-and-7. We have to kick a field goal and still be down 1 point. I believe if the Cajuns were to run it up the middle, both of those two plays for third and goal and fourth and goal, I think we would have scored a touchdown there and taken the lead in this game. And then the whole outlook on it completely shifts. So there were a couple points in the game where I would have liked to see Napier play a little more aggressive. You know, I think he tried to outsmart himself at points in this game. But overall, as I said, the Cajuns had a chance to win this game. That's all you really want to ask for against this really stout App State team.
They had a chance. I mean, they were down 20-16 going into the fourth quarter. I think the offensive line played great.
Yeah.
As they have all season, there were no sacks allowed, led the way for the rushing attack, so they were able to be effective, especially as the game went on, not necessarily at the beginning, but as the game went on, you saw Regis and Elijah Mitchell find more holes in App State's defense. Louisiana's defense held App State to 20 points entering the fourth quarter, and the first 12 App State plays went for 11 total yards. They got 3 sacks on Thomas. They held Thomas to 6 of 13 passing, only 75 total passing yards. Darrington Evans went for 111 yards. So Darrington Evans had a good game, especially with the kick return on the opening kickoff for App State, which brought it down to the 1, and App State scored from the 1 yard line on their first or second offensive play. But Zach Thomas, not effective in the passing game, but he did run for 2 touchdowns, which kind of sealed the game or defined the game. We're talking about big plays. He ran one out from 35 yards to go up 27-16.
And that was on a 4th down as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great read as well because it was a 4th-and-1, you know, of course, on the Cajuns 35, and Zach Thomas faked the handoff, and the defense sold out on stopping the running back because Darrington Evans had been the one player that had beat us in the first game, and he was the one player that was really proven to be the difference in the second game. So we all sold out on stopping the running back, and we stuffed the running back in the backfield, but Thomas pulled it. And he made a great decision, great read, and he ended up in the end zone because there's no one there to stop him. So it was a great play by him.
Credit to Thomas. Louisiana's defense did show up on the road, gave Louisiana a chance to, you know, go up in this game, take this game. So they've shown a lot of improvement, Justin. They gave up 40 points a game last season. Didn't really show all that much to be encouraged about. And then this season you're seeing what they've done. Especially on the road, I mean, how much improvement have you seen from the defense since last season?
Oh, it's been like night and day. This defense has really come into their own, started forcing some turnovers, holding good teams to not a lot of points, and I think that's what we really wanted to see out of them coming into this season. And it's really a good sign moving forward into next season. You have something to build off of in this new Napier defensive scheme almost. You know, we didn't know how everything would go this season with a new head coach, all this new talent. It really is a bright spot moving forward into next season that the defense performed so well this season.
Yeah, and you would just like to see, especially coming up in this two-lane game, is more complete performances from this team. It seems like when the offense is going, the defense isn't. The defense is going, the offense isn't. So we like a bit more complete performances from the Raging Cajuns, so that's something that, you know, could improve going into especially Tulane and the Cure Bowl. I just want to talk about real quick, the special teams kind of defined this game. One of the bigger stories in this game was App State getting the 97-yard kickoff return from Evans, runs it from 1 yard out for the opening TD. The App State kicker, 3-of-3 on field goals, and all 3 were career highs.
Yeah, all 3 were 42 yards, which is pretty peculiar.
Yeah,
and
there was
as long as
this weird sense.
Yeah, his longest before then had been, I think, 40. So I was just like, oh, he's going to miss one of these. He's going to miss one of these. He kept drilling them. And,
yeah.
You know, it's crazy that the two kickers combined to go 7 of 7 in such weird conditions.
And,
you know,
yeah, harsh.
It's really poor kicking conditions, but both kickers are on their game, and you got to credit both of them.
Yeah, he had one with 2:09 left in the game to seal it at 30-19. Ray McCauley had a couple of returns to set the Cajuns' offense up in good field position, He had a long return of 61 yards. So while Ray McCauley not effective in the running game, he did have a great game in the return game. So overall, Justin, how would you describe this performance from the Rage Gators?
We've touched on it. It's honestly better than I thought they would do. Going, you know, to App State, we played them well in the first game of the season. I was thinking this one would be a little bit more in favor of App State. The defense showed up really all season, in this game in particular. It was just it was a tough loss. You know, they played well, still lost by 11. You know, it's those kind of games where you think no matter how well you play, it might not be enough, and they had it closer than I thought it would be.
Yeah. It was a great effort by the Raging Cajuns, showing a lot of improvement from last season. I think they showed improvement from the first game as well, even though a bit of a bigger margin of victory for App State. But I think it was improvement because they did have chances in this game to take the lead, take control of this game, just not able to. And that was throughout the game, and that was even later in the game than the first game. So, Charlie, I mean, final thoughts on the inaugural Sun Belt Conference Championship game?
When I look at how this team played against App State in App State last year versus how I saw them play two times in App State this year, as Justin was saying earlier, it's night and day. The defense that gave up 63 points in one game to App State last year gave up 57 in two games to them this year. So they were, you know, they put the offense in position to win both of these games. They fell short in both of them. But, you know, it's no shame in losing this really solid App State team. Overall, I'm impressed with the season. Going into the season, you know, we had been debating on, you know, how many wins this Cajuns team would get. And I think the defense, you know, becoming so much better than they were last year played a huge role in them, you know, overachieving their benchmark that some teams set them at winning four games this year. You know, so they overachieved. They played really well this year. They won the Sun Belt West. They got to play in the first Sun Belt Conference Championship game. There's a lot to look back on this year and be happy about.
Their over-under to begin the season was set at like four and a half wins, and they got seven. Then they were favored in only one game, and they still won seven. So, right. I mean, that led them to a bowl game. Louisiana play in the Cure Bowl in Orlando with the loss to App State. The opponent is Tulane. Tulane at 6-6 on the season. They became bowl eligible with a 29-28 dramatic win over Navy. Tulane went for two on the game-winning touchdown. And I mean that's just a gutsy move. You could either tie the game, potentially go into overtime, or you could go for two, become bowl eligible. I like the call.
Yeah,
it's very aggressive, and I like it.
Tulane had blown a 21-3 lead at halftime, and Navy came, like, stormed back and took a 28-21 lead, and then Tulane knew that, like, they weren't going to win this game in overtime, so they had to, you know, score on that drive, get the two-point conversion, and risk their bowl eligibility on one play. So, yeah, props to them. It was a big call, and they made it, and they won it, and now they're bowl eligible. So it worked out for them.
If only the Steelers could have done that.
If only the referees Sunday. Could have.
Oh, okay. Well, let's not get into that. All right, let's stick to this Cure Bowl in Orlando. So the offense, Justin McMillan started at quarterback against Navy, 50% passing for the season, 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. The rushing attack, Darius Bradwell with 984 yards, Corey Dolphin, 754 yards, 16 rushing touchdowns between them. Their leading receiver, Darnell Mooney, leads receiving with 987 yards and 8 touchdowns. The team averages 25 points per game. And the defense, they give up 27.8 points per game, 11 total interceptions. And their outside linebacker, Patrick Johnson, has been good for them. Leads the team with 9.5 sacks, 14 tackles for loss, and 4 forced fumbles. The team allows 265 passing yards per game, 153 rushing yards per game. What do these numbers mean? we're going back to that. Justin, what do these numbers mean for Louisiana? What are the keys in this game?
Defense. I think Charlie got the specific numbers early, but I know Tulane is favored in this game by a good margin.
They're favored by 3 points. They're set at a 66% chance to win this game, according to ESPN. So it's kind of interesting.
I think the defense needs to show up here. Andre Nunez, I guess technically this is a road game because it's not a Cajun Field, but it's a bowl game. So, you know, it's a road for both teams.
Neutral site.
Just assuming that the offense is average. The defense needs to play above par here if Louisiana wants to come away with the win against Tulane.
Charlie, do you think they could put a complete performance together?
No, but I think the offense is actually going to have a big game. Tulane seems to be very average, you know. You look at their numbers, you look at their stats, everything kind of leads to them being like a 6-6 team, and they are. I mean, it's just all they really are. They're not outstanding, really, on either side of the ball. The Cajuns aren't really either, so this is going to be an interesting matchup against two pretty average teams. I'm looking forward to seeing how the Cajuns' offense plays in this game, though, because I think there are opportunities for them. I think this is probably going to be one of the better offenses or rushing offenses that Tulane plays since, like, Memphis, you know? So the opportunity is definitely there. I'm interested to see what kind of game Napier calls. If he wants to put more of a focus on the quarterbacks and the passing game, or if he wants to get the ground game established early and often, control the clock, have the defense play to their strength with you know, stopping the run game of Tulane. So I'm really interested to see how the coaches really call this game, because I think there's definitely opportunities for both sides to play really well.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a more aggressive Napier than the Sun Belt Conference game last week.
I hope so.
He was very passive. You'd hope so, and especially this being your first bowl game for Napier and the staff, and this being Andre Nunez's last game as a Ragey Cajun.
Yeah.
Hopefully a little bit more aggressive approach for the Ragey Cajuns in this game against Tulane. I don't know, is there anything else that you're looking out for in this game that you want to mention before we move on to your segment, your college football segment?
Yeah, I'm looking to see how the offensive line puts together one more big performance. Looking to see the running back shine. And I'm looking to see the defensive front get tested against a pretty solid Tulane offense. So it should be a fun game. I think it's going to be close, like projections are saying. But, you know, we're not going to pick it until next week when we do our bowl extravaganza. Yeah. So stay tuned for that next week, y'all.
Go
ahead.
Just give me turnovers. That's all I was going to say. I just want turnovers in this game for the Ragey Cajuns. You know,
I feel like there's going to be bad turnovers. I feel like the Cajuns are going to have a couple of them. So it's going to come down to as Justin was saying, how the defense plays in this game. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right. More college football. So the playoff teams were announced. But before we get to that, the results from the championship pick the winner that we did last week. We picked 10 games. And we thought, we don't need a tiebreaker. We don't need a tiebreaker. I mean, there's plenty of games. And me and Charlie ended up tying. 6-4.
I don't know how it happened. It's crazy.
6-4. We had plenty of games that were different.
We had, like, yeah.
About half of them were different, I'd say. And it still ended up being 6-4. Justin fell just shy of joining us at 5-5.
Yeah.
You did pick UL to beat App State.
I did.
That's the difference.
And that was the difference. You could have
three-way tie. Would have been. You know, I'm just here to throw spice into it.
Yeah, exactly. You're here for spice, and we appreciate the spice. But
sometimes spice means taking an L. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Special shout out to Alabama for the comeback.
Yes, me and Justin picked Georgia in that game. It was looking real nice.
Thank you, Alabama. Thank you, Jalen Hurts. Thank you, Nick Saban. I appreciate you. Memphis, on the other hand, I don't appreciate you as much for blowing another 20-plus point lead to UCF with their backup quarterback in this time. Thank you for absolutely falling apart in the second half.
Well, that's what happens when you face the national champions.
I don't appreciate you at all. So Memphis is my hated team of this segment. Go Bama. Thank you, Bama. From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate them for this performance and the comeback.
The listeners are mad right now, Charlie.
Why?
This much Bama credit.
Oh, I'm
unless they're happy.
I'm very appreciative of Bama for coming up big for me in this college pick 'em. But anyways,
all right, so the playoff teams. They were not the final four teams, and this is Charlie's College Corner.
I like
where
the name.
He gives his reaction, your thoughts on the playoff teams and bowl games that you're looking out for. Of course, we're going to pick them next week, but I just want to kind of get your reaction and thoughts to the Final Four.
So I think the committee got it right. But Oklahoma was the team I least wanted to see in the fourth spot. Do I think they deserved it? Sure. They've, you know, they've won a couple of top 25 games. They avenged their only loss this year in their championship game. Do I think Ohio State and Georgia are better teams? Yes. And I think Oklahoma and Alabama, you know, depending on the health of Tua Tagovailoa, I think it's going to be kind of a boring game. I think that the game with Clemson and Notre Dame is also going to be kind of boring because, look, in my dream world, I get that you got to go with the four teams that deserve it the most, but in my dream world, it's Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and Ohio State. That's my personal opinion. I think those are the four best teams in the country. Now, I get that, you know, Georgia has two losses, but they really did look good against Alabama. They could have easily won that game. You know, Georgia's kind of known – the state of Georgia is known for their choking in big events. And, you know, they kind of kept with it.
Shout out Falcons.
What?
Shout out Falcons.
Shout out to Georgia in the national championship last year. They blew another lead at halftime. So they kind of did it again. But I think they, you know, if they wouldn't have lost to LSU by like 20 points earlier in the season, they would have definitely been in. And, you know, Notre Dame, they haven't impressed me at all this year. They've won a couple of good games. Like, they've scheduled some tough opponents. Traditionally tough opponents like USC, but those teams really haven't been that great this year. But, you know, we'll get to see. I think it's probably going to be Alabama-Clemson v3. Kind of hope it's not.
You kind of lukewarm. You're like, you think these games are just going to be boring?
I feel like the one that has more potential to be exciting is probably the Alabama-Oklahoma game, because if Oklahoma's offense turns up and, like, you know, turns into a shootout, we could see a definite barn burner there. Oklahoma's defense is, you know, almost bottom in the country. So, you know, Alabama's going to score. It's going to be up to Kyler Murray and Oklahoma's offense to, like, answer. So if that's, like, if that turns into a barn burner, that might be exciting. But I don't know how much Oklahoma's going to score on Alabama's defense. The Clemson-Notre Dame game, it's two undefeated teams. Clemson hasn't really been tested this year by, like, I think the best team they've played is probably maybe either NC State or Texas A&M, and maybe Syracuse, you know. So they played, like, a lot of pretty, you know, mediocre-ranked teams. So I think that's going to be pretty interesting, them finally playing, like, a top-three undefeated team. Because, you know, you look at Notre Dame's schedule, they've beaten a top-five team this or a top-ten team this year when they beat Michigan. So that might have a chance to be fun. I'm just not really excited for this college football playoff, as y'all can tell. I want to see it get moved to six or eight teams. I think that's the best way to do it, in my opinion. But that's my opinion. I think eight is the perfect number for college football playoff, like for Division I. But they have to have, you know, their whole thing with, you know, you need to have some kind of suspense on who gets in. Because if eight teams gets in, it doubles the amount of teams that get in. So, you know, the border teams are in the playoffs at that point. So it takes away from suspense. It takes away, you know, from the, you know, last second who's in. So.
Okay. Never mind about the suspense. I mean, I feel like there could be a better product if you do that on the field, or like more excitement around these games if you were to do that.
Yeah, like having a quarterfinals.
Rather than having suspense leading up into it, you have more excitement. Going into these playoffs rather than these four teams and it's very boring and we know who's going to win.
Having a quarterfinals followed by a semifinals and then followed by the final, like the championship game, I feel is going to be a lot more fun. But, you know, I think that's still a little ways away from happening. And finally, to end my college corner, we have a pick to do.
Oh, yeah, ooh. We have a pick.
We do have a pick.
Just when you thought we wouldn't have a pick.
We have one game this weekend, and it is the best rivalry in college sports, if you don't mind me saying that. It might be the best rivalry in sports, period.
This is your corner.
I love it.
Do whatever you want.
Army-Navy game.
All right, we'll pick it. All right, we'll pick it. So Army versus Navy. Okay, I'm gonna go Navy.
I'm going to go Army. And I would also like to point out, it's a necessary tiebreaker for us because two people are going to be right.
Yeah, I'm going Army as well. So I guess we'll.
So if Lewis is right, he wins. But if Charlie and I are right, then we need a tiebreaker.
And I are going to have to pick the score eventually.
Yep, we'll do it off
air.
We'll do it off air because It takes some time to predict some scores. It takes some thought into it.
No, man, just
is it weird that I'm more excited for bowl season than I am the college football playoff?
It's not. It's not, because that's what I'm saying. Like, you got more teams going, more good teams going against each other that are interesting. But then, I mean, these kind of four teams leaves little to no intrigue within the actual games themselves. I don't know. I just feel like Alabama's going to win, and then that's it. But yeah. Clemson can make it interesting, like you said.
Maybe. We'll have to see.
Well, but we, of course, we have to wait. All right. That's Charlie's College Corner. Thank you, Charlie, for that. Now let's go to the New Orleans Pelicans. Everyone's favorite, New Orleans Pelicans. Ooh. I feel like we haven't talked about the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
In a couple weeks.
What's there to talk about?
They're 12-13. After a loss to the Clippers on Monday night. They are 9-3 in the daunted Smoothie King Center. And they're 3-10 on the road, not the road warriors that they were last season. The Pelicans, let's just say they've not been exciting a quarter way through the season.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us to Justin's justification. The alliteration episode continues. Where, Justin, you feel a little nervous about this. I can sense it.
Yeah, but I think I got it.
Okay, so Justin's justification. Justin, I want you to justify why the Pelicans team should still keep our interest.
Anthony Davis. Not him alone. Allow me to explain.
He gone.
No. So this team, you look at it, it's got the potential to be a lot better team than it is. We were very excited about this team going into the season. I think for a right reason. They're a good team. Elfrid Payton getting hurt was a bigger blow than I think a lot of people anticipated for this team. We've had other injuries in and out, too. I know Nikola Mirotic missed the game or two. Ishwan Moore was out here and there.
Andy Davis was out as well.
Right, yeah.
Elbow sprain.
Exactly. So throughout the season, already, this team has been plagued by injuries. Another problem that this team has is Julius Randle seems to foul out a lot. He's had some big games, but against the Clippers, he had 37 points, fouled out in the fourth quarter. And that was the game I think Mirotic was hurt, or that was the game before, or something like that. Either way, if Julius Randle get the fouls down, if this team can stay healthy, there's a big chance that this team can still make a deep playoff run, because the Warriors are struggling this season. So if the Pelicans have to play the Warriors in the postseason, I think there's a great chance, if they're healthy and if Randle stays in, that they beat the Warriors in the playoffs.
Whoa!
Justin, they're gonna make the playoffs, dude. They're not gonna make the playoffs.
Let me just write this down. Oh my Hell's God.
It's over. There's still plenty of basketball to be played here. It's only 25 games through. There's 82 games in the NBA season.
Justin, we're more likely to trade Anthony Davis in February than we are to make the playoffs
at
this point.
I disagree. Pels over Golden State take is better than your 49ers.
All right, hopefully it doesn't have the same finished product here. But
no, I like the spice. That's what you're here for.
Yeah.
All right, so
that's my main goal.
If Julius Randle can stay out of foul trouble, if Anthony Davis looked actually – do you feel – does it look like Anthony Davis to you? Does it look like he's interested in playing for this team?
He seems frustrated with a lot of the other players that are on this team.
He doesn't want to be here.
He's slowly looking like he does not want to be here. With that being said, I think part of him still does like New Orleans, and he likes Alvin Gentry. I don't know if we trade him. I think if anything, he's gonna. He might request to. I don't know. It's up in the air. I don't think at this moment we trade him, because he's our star player. And if we do trade him, we would need to get someone very good to replace him.
Well, how far we've come to where, oh no, Anthony Davis likes his team, it's fine, he's not going anywhere, to he could be traded and he looks frustrated and not interested. I don't know, Justin. I don't know if your justification was good enough. I feel like I'm still not interested in this team.
I think basketball this year is weird. The Cavs have, what, 3 wins? 2 wins? Something like that?
Like five. Up to five.
Go Cavs. Woo. The Mavericks are a good team. There's teams that are
Luka.
That are traditionally not good that are playing very well this season. Nuggets is another example. And then there's teams that have consistently been good that are struggling this season. I think this leaves a great opportunity for this Pels team to make a move. Yeah, you're almost right where you want to be right now. You're not, I mean, obviously you would want to get more wins, but if you're going to struggle a little bit, it's better to be 12-13 than like 5-whatever, you know? It could be worse. It could be a lot worse.
All right, so it could be worse. That's your justification.
Yeah.
All right, it could be worse.
Could be worse.
All right. Are you convinced, Charlie?
Nah. I'm kind of dumbfounded. I don't know what to say. They're not good. Like, it's kind of sad because they were good last year, but I think that the resurgence of, like, these teams like the Grizzlies and the Mavericks and the Clippers is awful for the Pelicans because now, like, they're going to have to pick it up because these other teams like the Rockets and, you know, the Timberwolves and even like the Lakers that are kind of in the middle of the pack right now, if they go on this like late season surge where they're winning all these games, the Pelicans are going to get left in the dust. So, you know, if they want to make a play and try and, you know, get someone to make a run before AD leaves, and go for it. But right now, as is, I'm not interested in this team at all. They're just not winners.
The Kings have a better record than the Pelicans.
The Kings are another team, just like the Mavericks and the Clippers and the Grizzlies. Like, these are all teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. And now all of a sudden they're in the top 8 rankings in the West. As you said, Justin, this year is weird in the NBA, but that does not bode well for New Orleans at all.
I think New Orleans is a weird team. So a weird season almost seems like something that would be all right. I'm not tuning out yet.
You're not tuning out?
No.
Okay.
I'm not really tuned in. It's still football season.
Yes, it is still football season. So the upcoming games for the Pelicans against the Mavs, which we're recording on Wednesday afternoon, so we do not know the result of the Mavs game. Then they have the Grizzlies at home, the Pistons and Celtics on the road, and the Thunder at home. So a tough schedule for the Pelicans here in these next 5. I don't know. Where do you see them? 0-5? No, I don't see that. Oh, this one's tough. Justin, come on. What do you got? Give us a 5-0.
No, I'm going 3-2. They still win these next 5. I think they'll probably lose to the Mavericks. But then I think they pick up wins against the Grizzlies, the Pistons, and the Thunder.
Okay.
At best, it's 2-3. Probably 1-4.
Charlie is all the way down on this team.
I am down on this team.
He's all the way down.
Until our star player proves that he wants to play here and, like, wants to win here in New Orleans, I'm not really on the bandwagon right now. You know, I'm Debbie Downer with the Pelicans, guys. And as I said, until AD plays like he does in the second half for a full game consistently, plays, you know, aggressively, wants to score, wants the ball in his hands, I don't think this team is really going anywhere. So I feel like their chances to pick up wins are actually these first two. I don't think they win on the road. You know, they haven't won on the road all year. 3-10 is pretty bad. But the Thunder is a tough game at home. So I think that their only two opportunities are actually the Mavs and the Grizzlies. So those are also two very good teams this year, two playoff teams as of now. So tough, you know, me saying 1-4 here, 2-3 isn't exactly a knock on the Pels. It's just kind of like they have a really tough schedule this week.
It's one of those weeks, boys, where all the teams are losing. All of them. The New Orleans Saints, they had their 10-game winning streak snapped after a 13-10 loss to the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday. Drew Brees, I'm not even going to say it. The overrated?
No.
As everyone shakes their head in the studio. I do not agree with that. Drew Brees, 18 of 28, 127 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 65 total rushing yards. And I just don't – it was a frustrating game. Let's just say that right out of it. Watching that game, it was frustrating from the start to the end of it. Just frustrating. Even when the Saints had a chance to go up, I didn't believe they'd go up. And I don't know. Justin, your reaction to this game?
I don't think Sean Payton coached this game very well. I think that that Michael Thomas catch that he challenged in the beginning should not have been a challenge. That was like a waste of one. And then he used both of his challenges pretty quickly. And then in the fourth quarter, he called timeout before the two-minute warning, which basically allowed Dallas to just kneel the ball out the rest of the game. I think the defense was playing well enough where if Dallas tried to run the ball, there was a possibility that that ball is on the ground and it's fumble, because both teams struggled with fumbles that whole night, it seemed like. I think if Sean Payton would have done a little better, and Drew Brees was not on his game either, that was just his interception was just an ill-advised throw. It should have never been made. I think if Drew Brees plays better, Sean Payton coaches a little better, the defense almost won this game for us. It would have been a blowout in the Saints' favor if those two just clicked.
You have a point about Payton. Charlie?
I agree. I think Payton actually coached a really poor game. But on offense, the defense played really well in this game. Seven sacks, you know. They played a couple turnovers, a couple fumbles that they got. Cam Jordan had a huge sack fumble in the game, which gave the Saints a chance to win it. But the offense didn't play well enough, and the reasoning behind it was the game plan was poor. You know, Alvin Kamara probably got concussed at some point in that game, which led to that last play that Drew Brees threw the interception on. There was obviously a miscommunication.
Which is rare.
Yeah, it is, and it was probably because of the illegal hit that he took. So, you know, but at the same time, the offensive line played their worst game of the season. DeMarcus Lawrence backed up his talk, give him credit. But the Cowboys front seven, we played right into them, and that's the strength of their team. The weaknesses of the Dallas team can be exploited in the defensive backfield. If you go deep on them, there's some busted coverages in the open, in the middle. The Saints found none of those. And, you know, they tried to run it, and they couldn't get the run established. And so they tried to throw screens, quick passes, to try and offset the pass rush that Dallas was bringing them. But all it did was put it right into, you know, their front seven. And that's why the Saints struggled all night.
And the Cowboys defense deserves credit for this game. I mean, we didn't know if the defense was for real. But it seems like it is with the way they played against the Saints.
This was, I feel, their chance to show everyone in the NFL that they're legit. Mm. And they took it and they ran with it.
Yeah.
If this game is played in the Superdome, I think it's a completely different outcome. I think the Saints' offense gets rolling a lot easier. But we missed Ron Armstead in this game. Mm-hmm. We missed him dearly. The pass rush was getting after Brees like it hasn't been all season. He threw another pick this week, which, you know, is unlike him. I think it's 30-3 on the season this year with touchdowns and interceptions. And he just couldn't get himself in a rhythm. It's probably the worst performance I've seen by Brees in a very long time.
30-3?
Yeah.
Touchdown to interception? Overrated. SMH. Yeah, I don't know. Not just an annoying game. Frustrating
very
game.
Aggravating.
If you watch the Saints. So, Justin, are you concerned about games in which Brees gets pressured and that throwing off the entire offense?
No, only because... So this game is kind of like a weird one. This game is an anomaly. Both of our losses, I believe, are very strange. I think the fact that Drew Brees was under pressure certainly didn't help. I think if Sean Payton would have recognized that Dallas was going to get to the quarterback, he would have made a shift and started handing the ball off a little more, maybe try and take some of that pressure off, start calling some trick plays or something to try and get the defensive line to back off a little bit, not be so aggressive. I think if Sean Payton is on his game, even if Drew Brees is getting pressured, it's okay. I don't think the pressure alone is what is concerning me here.
The run game never got established, though. They, you know, each time they try to go to it, the start of the game was three straight incompletions, you know. The next drive, they start off with two runs. They don't get 10 yards. And then it goes back to Brees, and he throws another incompletion. So you start on a game with nothing's working, two straight three and outs. Like, it was frustrating from that point, and then it was just frustrating the rest of the game. Like, the Saints had their opportunities. You know, I kind of look back. There was a fourth and goal that the Saints had where they went for it, and Kamara got stuffed. If they would have kicked that field goal, the game would have been tied. Instead, you know, they went for it, and, you know, it just didn't work out for them. So I think that the Saints, they had opportunities to win this game, you know, especially playing as poorly as they did, which is, you know, kind of indicative of how good they are. But now they just need to have a bounce back week next week, or this upcoming weekend against Tampa.
Yeah, I didn't mind the fourth and goal call, though. I like going for it on fourth down right there.
I like it, too, but I mean, that early in the game, I don't really know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think especially if you started off so, struggled so much in those first two drives, I think at that point you just take the points and move on.
I think hindsight's 20/20 in those situations, so I like the call. All right, yep, they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. This is a road game for the Saints. They lost to Tampa Bay in the home opener, 48-40, which, as Justin mentioned, was a weird game and not at all representative of what the Saints have been over the past, 11 games. So, but something about this game also makes you nervous, Charlie.
Yeah.
You were talking to me. You were like, "I'm scared about this game."
So the Bucs are a weird team. They have beaten a lot of good teams. They've played some good teams very closely. And then they've lost to a lot of really poor teams. Seems that they play down to their competition and up to their competition. I watched them play this past weekend against Carolina. And Carolina is my ultimate jinx. I absolutely hate the Panthers this year. Whenever I pick them, they lose. Whenever I pick against them, they win. So, this past week I was just like, okay, Carolina's on a skid. But they're playing the Bucs. You know, this could be an opportunity for them to get back on track. Bucs go ahead and play one of their better games of the season on both sides, and they smack the Panthers. So this team is actually kind of riding a high right now, I feel. Last year, the Saints team, one of the better Saints teams in recent years, went into Tampa and they lost. So there's something about Tampa Bay, and they always play us really tough. It's a divisional opponent. Divisional games are always hard to predict. But, Tampa, which is typically, at the bottom of the NFC South, they've played the Saints really tough in recent years. So this game worries me. If the Saints lose this game, they can pack whatever hopes they have at the number one overall seed and home field advantage goodbye. At this point, they need to win out. I think they recognize that after losing to Dallas. And I think the Dallas game is kind of a wake-up call that, they're not going to just walk by every team. They're not going to drop 40 points on every team that they play. So I think it's probably better that they lost a game like that at this point in the season.
I think Charlie said last week this team needed to lose. And then I didn't agree. I didn't want it to be this one, but I agreed in the sense that this team, they really have been just kind of coasting through this season, getting wins all willy-nilly, And now it's just, now that they have that, I believe our defense is a lot better than it was in the first week. And I believe that this game, now from here on out, the Saints have a very winnable schedule. I know we have to play Pittsburgh, but that's, I believe, at home. And we have Carolina twice in three weeks. But it's still a winnable schedule from here on out. I think the Saints know that if they want the one seed, they got to win out. And I think that's what they do here.
Okay. All right. Is there one thing that you're looking out for in this game? One thing.
I would like to see a better game from the defense than the first time we played them, just to prove that. Do we know who the quarterback is going to be for Tampa Bay? Is it going to
probably
be Winston?
Jameis, yeah.
I think.
Who knows?
Right. I think
they'll
that
be both in the game.
If this defense proves that first week was just a fluke against Tampa Bay, that really solidifies their position as a top-tier defense in this league. A lot of people still don't believe it. A lot of people were pointing to that first week like, well, look what happened here. They held some great teams to not a lot of points, and I think this week is almost like a proving game for the Saints team because they got beaten 48-40 in the first week against this team. So I think it's going to be a big defensive game.
Charlie, one thing you're looking out for in this game.
I'll say one thing I'm looking at for in this game, but then I'll say one other thing I'm looking at for this football weekend. In this game, defense is one thing. I'm looking out to see how the offense bounces back. This Buccaneers defense is not that good, but they had a great game against Carolina. They forced four interceptions, almost five. They held Carolina in check for a majority of the game. And they just played overall a very solid game, a really good performance, like bend don't break style. So I want to see how the offense responds after getting smacked by the Cowboys defense last week, how they respond against a lower tier defense that's starting to play its better football. So that's what I'm looking for. But I'm also looking for Sunday Night Football this upcoming weekend. Either way this game goes benefits the Saints, which is pretty interesting. If the Bears beat the Rams this week at home in, you know, January or December Chicago weather, which is very possible, seeing how the Rams play on the road this year, the Saints, with a win over Tampa Bay, reclaim the top spot in the NFC. If the Rams go into Chicago and beat the Bears, then the Bears drop down another spot, and the Saints have a stronger hold on the number two seed in the NFC. So either way works. I'll be personally rooting for the Bears because I think home field advantage is going to be incredibly important come January and February. So we'll have to see how that game goes. But for the Bucs-Saints game, personally, as I said, I'm looking forward to seeing how the offense plays.
The offense. I mean, it has to be, like, the offense, right? I mean, you score 10 points, and you're kind of hoping, like, hey, yo, I hope they're better this week. So, I mean, that's kind
of
like the
one thing. A lot of things went wrong in that Dallas game.
Yeah, you just kind of hope, like, you could get your offense back on track against Tampa Bay. So, we have a lot of time this week for NFL Pick the Winner.
Unfortunately, the games are not that good, so we can't really...
It can be fun, though. It can be fun. Yeah. We're recording this again on Wednesday for Millen Sports Show.
Not rushed this time. All right.
Not rushed. I want everyone to have their time, but I will say that I bounced back from the previous 3 weeks of NFL Pick the Winner. I haven't had terrible weeks, but I haven't been first.
Congratulations, Lewis.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you. 9-7 for me this week. Won it, which is low. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a rough week for a lot of us. A rough week for Charlie and Steeler Nation. he went 8-8. It came down to the Chargers and Steelers game. I picked the Chargers. He picked the Steelers. We both had Eagles winning on Monday night.
We don't need to talk about that last one. It's okay.
Can we get a secession? What am I trying to say?
Secession. I'm seceding from the union.
Yeah. You're off the sports show after coming in second.
It's all right, but I've been traded and came back.
This is Survivor.
Back, so.
Yeah, this is Survivor.
You I'm sure you
Yeah, back. I deserve it after going like 1-4 in primetime games that decide the winner of the week.
Oh, man. Are you really?
It's so aggravating.
Are you really?
It's so aggravating. The Chiefs game, this game, or the Chargers game, the
Texans, right?
The Texans. It's just been, you know, like every week that it comes down to like one game, like in primetime, I lose it. I think the only one I won was, like, last week. What was that one?
I'm not sure what
Well,
that
this just goes to show you're not clutch.
It just goes to show that my teams just can't win in the clutch.
No, you're just not clutch.
Like, it just feels like each time, like, we're doing it, you'll say, like, oh, I'm up by one win, right? I'm like, okay, what games do we have left? And if you say we have a primetime game different left, I'm like, okay, I lose this week. It's just how it is.
Justin, you won the past 2 or 3 weeks?
Three. No, wait. Didn't Charlie win last week? I went 3 in a row, and then Charlie won last week.
Okay. You won 3 in a row. Two of them, I think, were on primetime differences.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
God bless.
Yeah, but we don't need to say the record out loud. It's okay.
So 5-11.
I think the Bears-Vikings was the one that was last week that I finally won.
No, it was Packers-Vikings because I picked the Packers.
Yeah, that was it.
So 5-11 for
you. We don't need to talk about that, man. It's okay.
It's okay because you've been on a good streak. Maybe you could bounce back from this, but...
I need to bounce
back.
Maybe
it's my time now, you know? Maybe it's...
I don't know. I feel like these games this week are...
God-awful.
They're almost like trap... Well, we thought these games last week were going to be bad.
They're very trap... Yeah, they're very trappy.
Very trappy. We thought these games last week would be very chalk, and the winner went 9-7, and I went 5-11.
Who won? Who was 9-7?
Lewis. Yeah. Lewis, the leader. Alliteration week.
Alliteration. Thank you.
Walt Anderson.
Okay. So we have a good amount of time. We have about 10 minutes to pick these games. Charlie's going to lead us. Charlie.
All right. First off, we got our match of the Titans. I didn't even mean that. match of the Titans on Thursday night. Jags at the Titans. I didn't even. Okay. I guess I'll lead this one off. The Jags won last week for the first time in like 7 weeks. But it was by a score of 6-0.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in Tennessee. The Titans are the weirdest team in the NFL. So I hate picking them, but I'll pick them. I'll pick Titans here.
Justin.
Does anyone have a coin?
I wrote down mine. I wrote down mine and instantly regretted it.
You have a coin on you?
No, I do
Flip
not.
A coin for this one? let's just go Jaguars. Just to make it different. You know what?
Like Charlie was saying.
Yeah.
You know,
but I mean, like Charlie was saying, the Titans are by far the strangest team in the NFL.
Without a doubt.
I wrote down Titans and certainly not convinced Titans are even a football team.
Cody Kessler.
So I'll go Titans. All right, next up.
Up next, we got my ultimate jinx. We got the Panthers at the Browns.
So we'll wait to see what Charlie picks.
What are you picking? I hate the Panthers. I'm going with the Browns here.
All right, well, I'm going to pick the Panthers.
I'm going to pick the Panthers as well. I need the W. So
I was hoping you wouldn't pick the Panthers. I wanted to pick them this week, but if you would have picked them, I would have gone the Browns.
You're picking against your Browns?
Yeah, only because Charlie picked the Browns.
Yeah,
I hate you, Cam Newton.
No knowledge needed.
Right.
No stats.
Just whoever Charlie picks, you go the other way.
Exactly. Next could be a sneaky game. We got the Ravens at the Chiefs.
At the Chiefs.
This is a fun game.
It is. It is a very fun game.
It's really exciting.
Is Lamar Jackson coming back this week? I know he got hurt.
I'm sure he's
Yeah, he played in at the end of the game against the Falcons.
Did he? Yeah, I didn't see the end of that game.
From concussion protocol. I'm going to pick the Chiefs. This feels like a game where maybe the Ravens are unable to score for whatever reason against this Chiefs defense, who's not good. But I feel like I'm going to take the Chiefs at home.
I'm going to tell you, I really like this game.
I do too.
I think the Ravens win here. The Chiefs just lost Kareem Hunt. Dropped him. I think the Ravens take advantage of all this hype surrounding how great the Chiefs are and run with it.
I'm taking the Ravens here as well on the road. I think this is going to be actually a really fun game. You know, I guess we're both going with the upset here. I like that, Justin. The Ravens, their defense looked outstanding against Atlanta.
I agree.
They're going to have another huge performance against this Kansas City team. But as you said, missing Kareem Hunt's going to really hurt them. It's going to make them more, you know, one balance. Yeah, it is going to hurt them against this. Yes, it is. It's going to make them one-dimensional against a Ravens defense.
No, they're not going to be one-dimensional. That offense isn't designed to be one-dimensional. I think whatever running back
So you're going to run Spencer Ware and you're not going to get anything.
I absolutely think whatever running back comes in is going to have a good game.
You're saying that Spencer Ware is going to have a better game than Kareem Hunt would?
He's going to have a good game. I don't think his loss is as effective as you think it's going to be.
In this game, I think it will be. I think that, you know, I think the Ravens front is going to be able to stuff Spencer Ware in this game.
The Ravens so it's going to really defense.
Yeah, they do. They do. They absolutely do. They stuffed Atlanta's run game all game. It made them one dimensional.
Exactly. So, and they have an offense that's starting to come into their own under Lamar Jackson too. So I think the Ravens are a scary, sneaky team.
This Chiefs defense that gave up 33 to Oakland, and you know that doesn't have nearly as many, you know, options as this Ravens team does. I'll go Ravens. I'll go Baltimore on the road.
All right.
Colts at Texans.
Okay, so I want to pick the Colts here, and I am going to pick the Colts because it's hard to believe the Texans win this many games in a row, and the Colts being that bad on offense again. I don't know. I'm going Colts.
I'm going Texans.
I'm also going Texans.
Wow, we're differing here. Justin and Charlie are teaming up on me this week.
Patriots at Dolphins.
What is it?
Patriots at Dolphins. This probably will be clean sweep.
I don't think it will be. I'm going Patriots.
Yeah, I'll go Patriots, too. I thought about it. I thought about it.
Only
because it's in Miami, but then again, I remembered that it's Miami, so.
Giants at Redskins. I'll go Giants here, actually.
I'm going Giants.
I'm going Giants as well.
I don't believe in
Congratulations
Sanchez.
Congratulations to Washington. The Sanchez? You don't believe in it?
Mm-mm.
Shout out to his butt fumble coming full circle, though.
Yeah, right. Butt recovery.
Saints
at Bucks.
Saints.
Very, very silent here. I'm gonna go Saints.
I'm conflicted.
I am too.
Because I want to pick the upset.
Go big or go home, man. I say go for it. Very silent.
Very silent.
This is a lot of thought.
I'm putting a lot of consideration into it, but I think that this is the week for the Saints to have a bounce back. And if they lose this game, they're in trouble. So,
all right. That was dramatic. I should have added some music in.
Falcons at Packers.
Aaron Rodgers goes off for 500 yards, 7 touchdowns. Give me the Packers.
Falcons. Packers have looked terrible this season. Falcons haven't looked much better, but still.
These are two incredibly garbage teams.
The Packers did just fire their head coach.
The Packers just lost to the Cardinals at home.
And they fired their
head coach. I'm going Falcons.
All right, next up.
Jets at Bills.
My game of the week. All
right. Oh, whoa. You got to let Justin
sorry,
kick it off.
I was going right with it.
Yeah, Bills, too. But, yeah, game of the week.
So, Bills for both of you?
Yep.
Give me the Jets, baby. just because, you know, I have to ride for the Jets. And seems like Justin and Charlie are buddy-buddy this week.
Yeah, we have a couple
with
different
the picks,
ones.
With the picks.
Bengals at Chargers. Give me the Chargers.
Yeah, I like the Chargers. Super especially Chargers. After last week.
I'm going to take Chargers, too.
All right, up next we got the Broncos at the 49ers. I'm going Broncos. Emmanuel Sanders just tore his ACL. But Broncos are kind of on a roll right now. So I'll stick with them.
Stick with the Broncos, keeping that playoff, those playoff chases interesting. Justin?
49ers.
49ers. I'm going Broncos in this game. Next up.
Eagles at Cowboys.
Oh, okay. So these games are, this game could be interesting, I guess. You know, the NFC East could be interesting. We haven't had a Charlie most mediocre game yet.
It's coming.
It's coming? Okay. Who do you have in this game?
I got the Cowboys in this one. They keep the ball rolling at home, and they make the Eagles' playoff chances go close to zero.
Cowboys.
Cowboys.
All right. Wow, believers now.
Eagles are too injured.
That's true.
All right. Up next, we got the Steelers at the Raiders.
I'm going to go Steelers.
Steelers. I'm going to Steelers, yeah.
I'm not going to pick two bad teams. I'm slightly regretting my 49ers pick.
No, don't. Don't.
Thinking about it.
Don't you ever.
Thinking.
Are we having to change?
Maybe.
Oh.
Because the 49ers are already one of two teams already eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah,
the 49ers and the Raiders. Yeah, I'm going to change it, actually.
Wow, we have a change.
Broncos.
To the Broncos.
All right. So our we'll afternoon games are pretty week. Chalk, boys. All right, we got the Lions at the Cardinals. This is my game of the week.
Woo! Woo.
Two incredibly mediocre teams, a 4-8 team and a 3-9 team.
Dun, 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 dun. What you got?
The Lions' defense is pretty much built to take down this Cardinals offense, but it's on the road. And I'll go Cardinals here.
Cardinals, okay.
I'll go Cardinals. I'm not feeling great about it.
I'm going Lions.
I'm going to go Lions as well.
You know, the Lions scare me.
All right. Up next, we have Sunday Night Football, the Rams at the Bears.
Okay, so this is a big game.
That's got to be your game of the week.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I'm going.
Take it off.
Going with the Bears here. I feel like the Rams are beatable. I feel like the Bears defense is one of the best defenses in the NFL. And Trubisky hopefully comes back this week.
And they're playing at home.
And they're playing at home.
I'm going to go with the Bears too.
Wow. Clean sweep.
Wow. For a Rams game.
Shocker. Against the Rams.
Wow. All right. Monday Night Football, Vikings at Seahawks.
So this is a good game as well. Justin, kick us off.
I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I don't love that pick because I think both of these teams have a good chance of winning this game, but I'm going to go with it.
I'm going to go Vikings in this game. Charlie.
I'm going Seahawks as well.
Seahawks. All right. And that will do it for our NFL pick the winner. Charlie, how you feeling?
I don't feel great about the Cardinals. Outside of that, I'm feeling all right.
The Cardinals are worrying you this week. Justin, how are you feeling?
Pretty good.
Bounce back?
Bounce back.
You
go Bills. Let's go Bills.
Go Bills. And that will do it